CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be. Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Dishing with Digest. I'm Stephanie Sloan, editorial director, here with Mara Levinsky, senior editor.
Hi, everyone.
Well, Mara, I just got back from Los Angeles, where I had a chance to go to the Days of Our Lives set for the 54th anniversary celebration. So we actually did a cute video on the Duel app when I was there. And if our listeners don't have that app, I would recommend downloading it right away because they really have such fun content. And you get to see the stars as themselves in a way that you really don't get to anywhere else. Anyway, it was such a nice day on the set. The mood was really upbeat and everyone just seemed really happy. So cut to a few days later, and a story came out online that the entire show had been released from their contracts, which set off a crazy firestorm. I mean, not only around the internet, but like around the world, that Days was being canceled. So here is the story. You know, the show tapes very far ahead in a way that no other soap does. And for the past couple of years or so, they've been taping about 5 months ahead of what's airing. So this year, they really accelerated the pace, and when they go on their holiday break next week, they will have about 9 months in the can, which will bring them to the end of their current contract with NBC, which expires in 2020. Now, NBC and Sony and Corday Productions were in active negotiations at the time that article came out to keep the show on the air, and they were very hopeful that they were going to get a pickup. But these headlines became super sensational and made the situation seem much more dire than it is, especially because as we were beginning to record this podcast, we got news that the show has indeed been picked up for another year and will be on the air through September 2021, which, of course, is amazing news indeed.
Absolutely. And so much total like cause for celebration. But going back to like the epic response that we saw in the wake of this like Days is gone kind of clickbaity moment that we saw happen, the hiatus itself wasn't even new news because everyone in the cast has been aware of it for months.
Right.
And a number of folks like really did take advantage of social media to offer some clarification on the actual situation to kind of calm that down for people who were following the situation closely enough and cared enough to get more information, which I don't think necessarily like the mainstream media was as quick to pick up on. But Camila Bannis, who plays Gabby, she very emphatically stated that the truth of the matter was that she had not been fired, nor had any of her co-stars. We saw Greg Vaughn, who plays Eric, and Chandler Massey, who plays Will, also point out that the show was not canceled and would continue to air as scheduled. During the production hiatus. And on the podcast that Freddie Smith, who plays Sonny, hosts with his fiance, Alyssa Tabbitt, the Freddie and Alyssa show, Freddie offered even more context, noting that it really was business as usual at the studio. And on top of that, that the show had been investing in brand new sets, which don't come cheap. And they would not be, you know, spending money on these sets if they didn't fully expect to be back up and running and using said sets following their hiatus. I thought it was really cute how Christian Alfonso, who plays Hope, kind of summed it up in a video that she posted from work on November 12th with Ron Carlovati, the head writer, saying simply, "We're still here and we're not going anywhere."
Yeah, I mean, it was really curious timing in that, as you pointed out, it wasn't a secret at the set or really kind of in the industry that they were going on this hiatus and that the contracts were ending while they were waiting for the pickup. But the way the news was reported, it made it seem like it had just happened, which I think is what set up the panic.
Right.
I mean, to say my phone blew up that day would be an understatement. And now that the show has been picked up, I really hope the mainstream media covers it just as heavily as it did with these cancellation rumors.
Mm-hmm.
So on another day's note, the show just made a very fun announcement. There's going to be a new series on the Duel app beginning November 29th. It's called The Last Blast Reunion and will feature the dot-com crew of the early aughts. So we'll see Brandon Beamer as Sean, Nadia Bjorlin as Chloe, Martha Madison as Belle, as well as Heather Lindell as Jan, Aaron Van Wagner as Jason, and a surprise guest to boot. Now, Farrah Fath had a scheduling conflict and couldn't come back to film as Mimi, so we will see a recast Mimi for the limited app series. But I spoke to Brandon and Nadia about the new series when I was at the set, and they said they had such a good time reminiscing and just all being together. And I am super psyched to watch it.
I have to say, Days has so been killing it with all of the fun supplemental material on that app. I really wish that other shows would follow suit. I mean, I can imagine GH doing like a digital series just about the nurses or B&B doing one about like the goings on at the Forrester officer in Paris. I also really love the piece that you hosted on the day of the anniversary. It was just really cool, not only to see my friend Steph Sloan on the set with all the stars, but it really felt like, you know, our click pages in the magazine, which is our paparazzi coverage, it felt like watching it come to life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very clever, I think, to capitalize on the soft spot that Days fans have for that teen crew, now no longer a teen crew, from the Last Blast era. And while we've seen people like Brandon and Martha and Nadia in Salem in recent years, it will really be like a full-on blast from the past to see like Heather Lindell and Aaron Von Wagner. I mean, who'd have thunk it?
I know. I mean,
watch your back, Sean.
Yeah, right? I mean, to your point, I would love to see that digital series with the nurses or B&B's Forrester office in Paris is like completely brilliant. I mean, there seem to be so many opportunities online now. You know, I wish there was a way to work out rebooting some of the soaps from the past. I mean, could you imagine seeing reunion episodes from like Ryan's Hope or Sunset Beach or Santa Barbara?
I absolutely can. And I can also imagine like a limited series, like a 10 episode drop of new episodes of Santa Barbara on Netflix or something like that. Trust, I would be getting an Airbnb in the mountains so that no one could disturb me while I watched.
Well, our guest today got her soap start on a beloved soap from the past that we would also love to see rebooted. It's Amelia Heinle, who plays Young and Restless's Victoria, but was once known as Loving Steffi. So let's get her on the phone to talk about her soap journey. Hi, Amelia.
Hi.
Hi. Thanks so much for joining us.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Well, we have never spoken to you for the podcast, so there's a lot to go
over
with you.
Never done a podcast before. This is exciting. Okay. Well, I can't wait to hear what kind of questions you have.
They're very tough. It's all about your life.
Oh, yeah. Great. Oh, no. Okay.
No, I'm ready. Okay. Well, let's go back and start at the beginning of your show business career and tell us how you broke into the business.
Okay. Well, I moved to New York after high school. I was 18. I wanted to go up to sort of just, I just wanted to get to the city, to be honest. I wanted to get out of New Jersey and, I didn't want to go to college. Wasn't sure what I wanted to study. So, I got on a Greyhound bus and I ended up in New York and, I started doing a little modeling, and that sort of wasn't what I was wanting. I think I probably did it for like a year. And then I realized that wasn't for me. So while I was modeling, I was also kind of going out for commercial auditions and things like that, which is you would sort of follow a protocol when you went there. Okay, I'm going to be a model and I'm also going to audition for commercials. And like, I was doing all those things. And then, I remember I was working also at a coat check, and it was called the Supper Club called Laura Bell, and I think it's still there. This really cool, like Italian club with the velvet booths and the big dance floor, and like you just don't see places like this anymore. And but I worked there as a coat check girl, and I was working and auditioning for commercials. And my agent, who was just a commercial agent, happened to have a role for a soap opera. So I had really no acting experience, but I just sort of was like, oh, this would be kind of fun. So I went uptown. It was 66th Street where all the studios used to be, where they used to tape All My Children and Loving and One Life to Live was up there, and Guiding Light, and everything was, in, you know, that was like the mecca of soap. So but I didn't know that. I just was like this little coat check girl slash model slash nothing. And so I ended up going to the wrong studio. I remember it was raining, and then I ended up going to One Life to Live because it was confusing if you didn't know the right studio. And then I was late, and then I finally ended up at the Loving studio. That's the soap opera that I auditioned for. And somehow I lucked into that role because I had absolutely no experience. And I worked there. I landed the role of Steffi Brewster. I remember that was the worst name. I'm like, why aren't they naming someone Steffi Brewster? That's the worst soap opera name. It doesn't even sound like dramatic. It's just like Steffi Brewster. But it was fine. I mean, I was just happy to be doing it. And I'm like, how did I even get this job? And I remember later I became friends with the casting directors, and they're like, you weren't the best of the actresses, but we just had seen that you had a good instinct or something like that. So back then they hired you off of stuff like that. I don't think they do that as much anymore. But the role was mine, and I took it for 3 years, and it was, you know, like old school soap opera back then. I think those were still the days of old school. It was before the O.J. Simpson trials.
Pre-O.J.
So, because that kind of changed. Yeah, I know. But that sort of changed the face of daytime watching, I think, and that's why I mentioned that. But so I was on that soap for a while, for the 3 years. And then I left ultimately after my three-year contract, and I went out and pursued other things. I also had my first child with Michael Weatherly, who went on to do other things in television. He's a big movie TV star now. Mm-hmm. But we met on that soap, and that was really a fun point in my life. And then I came out to LA. Oh, did I come out to LA? Yeah, we came out to LA together, and we both sort of pursued our nighttime careers and sort of just, you know, auditioned. And I think he had like a holding deal or some like network. They did holding deals back then, and gosh, I'm making myself sound so old, but I kind of am now. I don't know. I'm like, way back in the day.
But you were still kind of a baby at the time that we're talking about. You were still a teenager when you were hired on Loving.
Yeah, I was. Yeah, that's true. Thank you for making me feel better. Yeah, I was young.
Tell us about like what life was like for you on Loving. Like, who were your friends there, and what are your standout memories of being a Corinth resident?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. It was a great experience. It was hard to leave, but I knew that I wanted to try other things at that age. But, I remember, Jessica Collins was there, who also made an appearance later on Young and the Restless. She was on the show for a while, and I knew her from Loving. So that was a great moment when she came on our show. I was like, wow, this is great. She's, you know, people have been doing this. We circled back around and met each other again, but
yeah,
essentially
cool.
Back then we weren't really friends. We just kind of knew each other. And, you know, there's a different, when you come on the soap and you're young, there's like a different vibe than when you come, like when we met each other later, we were in our 30s, I think. And it was like different, you know, meetings, but then we were just like looking at each other like, oh, what is she going to be better than me? Is she going to be better than me? Yeah. Different thing. And I don't think I really talked to her much back then, but Rebecca Gayhart was there. I remember she was nice, but she was leaving when I came in. Michael Weatherly, he was there for a little bit before I left. He went and did other things. Roger Howarth was on Loving when I was there. Raina Sofer, I think, had been there, but left right as I got there. Lisa Peluso, the person who really sticks out in my mind was Nancy Addison, who I worked with. She played my mom. They actually brought her on to play my mother, and I felt, that's when I started to feel important, because they were giving me a family member, and she was wonderful. And she's passed on now from, I think she had, well, I know she had cancer, but it's very sad because she was just like such a lovely lady. She was a sparky lady, and she always treated me so well and gave me a lot of advice. I remember I would sit in her dressing room and we would just talk, and she would just, you know, she was older, a lot older than me, but I gleaned a lot of knowledge from her, and she She made it so much fun. So I miss her. I wish she was still around. Who else was on that show?
Laura Wright was there as well when you were there.
Tyler.
Oh, yeah. Trucker. Who could forget Trucker? That's a good soap name.
No, that's what I mean. Like, why didn't I have why did the guys have all the good soap names?
Well, like, I mean, there also was like Dinah Lee and Hannah. I mean, it's not as though when you're like listing them that Steffi's so bad compared to
those. Fits right in with
that. I know Dinah Lee is pretty bad. Dinah Lee is really bad.
Laura Wright was there when you were there as well, Amelia.
Oh, how could I forget Laura?
Or Laura Sisk, as she was.
That's right. She was Laura Sisk, and we were roommates for about 8 months because when I first came on, she was the person who was my friend. I made a friend with her. And then we decided we were going to be roommates, and that lasted about 8 months. And then, you know, we had a blast. I mean, New York City at that age and having a job on a TV show, it was like, and it was so weird. I remember thinking right before I got on the show, I was watching it at home because it was senior year in high school, and I kind of would get the second half of the day off, and I'd go home and I'd watch General Hospital because I really, really, really loved Duke and Anna so very much.
Yes.
And I would skip the end of school to go watch them. And then I think Loving would come on either before or after. It was a different network
No, it was the same.
It was ABC.
Yeah, it was before,
yeah,
I
so
think.
So that's why I ended up watching Loving. Yeah. And okay, that makes sense. And I remember I would see Michael and I would see Rebecca and they had their little storyline. And I'm like, oh, look at that. Those are cool. And it was like a kid's storyline and I was a kid. So I was like, oh, cool. I'm going to watch it. And then maybe 2 years later, because I spent a year in New York doing nothing but modeling. But a year later, I was on the show. So it was like, oh, now I'm on the show. This is weird.
Yeah, that is weird.
But fun. It was a great time to be on a soap opera. It really was. I remember they used to and now it's too, but back then they used to we used to tour the country a little bit more. And, you know, more people were watching, I think. It was kind of the golden age of soaps, or at least the tail end of it. So it was fun.
So you really can compare, you know, sort of the experience today versus what you had when you started.
Mm-hmm.
Totally different, I would imagine.
That's the fun part. Yeah, is that like a lot of these people that you talk to on the show now, they're like, oh, well, what is this normal? And you're like, it's normal now. But you remember, like, I can relate when Melody and Eric are talking about the golden age, and you know, the vets are talking about it. I'm like, I wasn't on YNR, but I was doing soaps back then, so I remember it. I wasn't the 80s, but it was the early 90s, and it was still kind of that way, you know. I remember going to the White House. We toured the White House at one point when I was on Loving, and that was really
fun. Cool.
And it was just a different. It was cool. I think Bill Clinton was in there at the time, so. Yes, that was Loving.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you hang out with anyone from All My Children or One Life at that time? Like, did you guys all hang out, or did you really just stick to your own cast?
You guys are reminding me of so many things. Yes. Oh, we used to hang out with Kelly Ripa. She was on All My Children at the time. And Laura Sisk was more friends with her, but I would go to her little things, and she was always a lot of fun. And then, you know, they would always have parties and have gatherings and events and St. Jude's and, you know, all this charity stuff that we would do. And so we did actually rub elbows with each other a lot, but can't really remember the specifics, but we did, you know, pretty much stick to our cast and our show and just hang out with each other. And sort of at that age, it's like, I'm in New York and those are the only people I know because I just came up to, you know, start a career. And then all of a sudden I have a career and then I'm just hanging out with the people that I know. Because it's a big city, and you know, Michael and I ended up getting married and having August, our son, who's now 23.
Oh, God.
Yeah, he'll be 24 soon.
It's so crazy. Really crazy.
I remember like following your relationship in Soap Opera Digest and when you had your child, you know, so like I feel old. You're aging me hard.
Crazy. I know. Oh, my God. I know. It's just, that's life. It goes fast.
Well, you were a very young mom. Yes, yes.
And I was. I thought it was normal, but it's not normal. No. My mom had me when she was 18. So to me, that was like, oh, no, I'm pregnant. Okay, I'm going to have him. Yeah, that's good. Oh. And then I realized later, I'm like, whoa, I was really young. But best thing I ever did, I got to tell you, because he's my buddy and he's just like this, oh, God, he's wonderful. So thank God that happened. And then we moved to LA and I left Loving, and I think I left it where it became the city.
Yes, you did.
They kind of tried to, they transitioned it towards the end of my contract, and they were trying to, like, I think otherwise it was going to get canceled because it was kind of just a little half hour show that wasn't, you know, it was doing pretty well. I don't know what the ratings were, but it was just back then it just wasn't going to last. So they transferred it to the city, and then I left after a year of that. But Morgan Fairchild was on, and you know, they did a really good job of trying to make it look different and save it, but I don't think it lasted much longer.
Yeah, it was short-lived. R.I.P. the city.
Yeah, we miss those half-hour shows.
Isn't Bold and Beautiful half hour? Or is it, what is it?
Yes, yeah, but I mean, there used to be Ryan's hour? Hope. There was this. Oh. I mean, it's just like Edge of Night. Right. There just were so many back in the day.
Right.
That, you know.
Oh, no, what? I didn't realize all those were half hours. Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
So wait, I have to talk to you about one of your credits after the city, because I fully remember sitting in the movie theater and going, oh my God, it's Steffi, when I watched the Steven Soderbergh movie that you were in, The Limey.
Oh, yes. Yeah, The Limey.
So that's a pretty cool credit.
That's so funny. I know. I think I had a dream about that movie last night. That's so weird, because not the movie, but because we were talking about making a it was really cool. I mean, I didn't realize who Steven Soderbergh was. That's when I moved out to LA and I was like doing, Michael was doing his thing. I think, I'm not sure what we were doing, but I was trying to get work and it wasn't easy. I was doing like movies of the week and like TNT movies and stuff like that with actually really cool people that I can't believe I worked with. Like I worked with Sam Shepard. I worked with Randy Quaid was in, I mean like all these people that I would never, and just, you know, just me like lucking my way into everything. And they weren't like great movies or anything, but these are people that I would have never thought I would ever be meeting or working with. But
yeah, it's amazing.
And then I got The Limey and I didn't know what it was. And I didn't know who Steven Soderbergh was. I knew he did Sex, Lies, and Videotape. And my agent was like, oh my God, Amelia, you got you have the role. And I'm like, what? And she's like, did you even read the script? I'm like, well, not yet. I'm like, I tried to read it, but I don't understand it. It's not that good. And she's like, it's Steven Soderbergh. And I'm like, okay. So anyway, I'm like, I didn't get the concept of, cause my, you know, a lot of actors like to get into the movies and who's the director and who's the producer, like what's, and they're really in the art of it. And I didn't have enough time to watch movies. Cause I guess, cause I had August and I was just, you know, doing my thing. When I first moved out to LA also, I hate people that do this, but I'm going to do it. I almost booked Scream. It was between me.
Wow.
And Nev Campbell. I know. And I met, what's his name? Oh, who? Wes Craven. And I was like, we had dinner or breakfast at some like diner in the hotel I was staying at. And I was going to be the girl, but then they changed their mind last minute and they made it her because she had like more movie or more television pull and I wasn't anybody. So I was like, oh, darn. Okay. Wow. Well, but then the movie became huge. I'm like, oh, I was, man. So
that's a good one.
I know. I was like, oh, it's all right. I wasn't too heartbroken over it. But anyway, so yeah, The Limey. And then I did that with Steven Soderbergh and Peter Fonda, who just passed away.
Yeah.
So, which I couldn't believe. And it's so weird when people, you know, start passing away that and you're like, they're not that old. And then I looked and I'm like, oh, he was kind of getting up there, I guess. So I did The Limey and Steven Soderbergh is probably one of the coolest people I've ever met. He was just not a director at all. Like he wasn't like a director, like, okay, cast, come here. Now I want you to feel like, you know, like Peter Fonda is like your boyfriend. He's just like, he would be quiet. He was behind the camera. And he sent out this letter to the whole cast and crew before when we started production. And it was like, hi, my name is Steven Soderbergh and you won't see much of me, but blah, 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 blah. And he went on and it was funny. I can't remember. I wish I'd saved it, but it was something about describing who he was and how he was going to work. And it was so funny and so endearing. And then we literally never really saw him or heard from him, but you'd see him behind the camera because he also did his own camera work. But then he had a cameraman too, but then he would sit back there. And when he was done with the movie, he's such a genius. Like, that bad script that I didn't want to read was great. He cut it together because that's his, the way that he edits is the way that he directs is like amazing. He's a truly like talented person that I never even knew about until I, you know, worked there and saw how he did it. It was really cool.
That sounds like an awesome experience.
Oh, and Karen Stamp was in that. Karen Stamp. How could I leave him out? I take it back. He's the coolest guy in the world.
Steven Soderbergh has dropped to number two.
I know. And I think Steven Soderbergh asked me out when I was on there, but I said, I don't know what I said. I don't remember. I was like, did he ask me out? I couldn't tell if he was asking me out or not. And then later on, I was like, I could have dated Steven Soderbergh. I'm so out of my element. But
a lot of almost here.
Yeah, a lot of coulda, shoulda, woulda is happening.
I know, that's the story of my life.
Now, in 2001, you came back to daytime to play Mia Saunders on All My Children. First of all, what'd you think of that name before you started? And how did that come about and what brought you back?
I just was out here and I was, you know, sort of missing the East Coast and missing my family. And I wanted to bring August back home to the East Coast. And I was a little bit burnt out on California. And so I talked to the producer of that show had been the producer of Loving at that time. And so I just reached out to her and I'm like, I don't know, I'm looking to come back to the East Coast. I miss New York. And she brought me back on. She just happened to open a role up for me, which I was like really kind of nervous to do because I usually have to audition. And I was like, okay, well, I hope it's going to be okay. Then I went back and I was with my family. It was really nice. It was a good like down period to be back on the East Coast and just sort of take a break from, because it's difficult out here sometimes when you're in the acting and you're trying to get jobs. And I just needed to take a little personal time. And so I went on the soap and I went back into the city and it was like actually really refreshing. It was, but it was right around 9/11 actually. And I always look back and I'm like, I can't believe I moved back to New York for 3 years and I'm there for 9/11 and the blackout. And then I go back to LA.
Yeah.
So I go there for the two craziest things that have happened there in a long time. But back to the show, All My Children, I ended up on All My Children. I was working with, Rebecca Budig was there and Alicia Minshew and Terry Ivins and myself. And I was only there for 3 years. So,
you were the fusion girls.
It was people that, the fusion, yes, fusion. Oh my gosh, sorry. And one of our directors that ended up coming to YNR later, when I came to YNR, he was there and he had been on All My Children. His name is Connell O'Brien. He used to call us fusions because he would forget our names and he'd just be like, fusions, stand over here. And I'm like, what? Calling us fusions? That's so odd. But I think he thought it was funny and then later we did too.
But wait, we've skipped over your thoughts, feelings, and what have you about the name Mia Saunders.
Oh. I like Mia. I didn't like Saunders. What's Saunders?
You're like? Very hard to please, Amelia. I don't know.
When you have a name Victoria like Amelia Heinle,
that's true. Newman. You like Victoria Newman. Okay. Well, yeah. Amelia Heinle is a really rocking name.
Newman. Amelia Heinle?
Yeah.
No. You're just saying that.
No, we're not.
Really?
It's a good name.
Well, I like Amelia. I'm not sure about Heinle.
That's
I don't know.
So funny.
I'm actually also, well, yeah. Mia Saunders. No, I didn't like it.
Well, you came on as Liza's half sister, and you got to work with the great Marcy Walker. What was your experience with her like?
She was really cool. I liked her. She was very, very low key and like not what you would. I didn't expect anything, so I didn't. I only knew her from being on the show, but everybody said she just had a real even keel personality where she was just like, hey, and you know, she wasn't like a soapy lady that was like cheesy or anything. She was really cool. And she was really kind to me. I liked her acting a lot. I don't think I'd seen her work since I got there. And then before I came to the show, and then when I got there, and I was like, wow, I like her style. She had a really solid, like, emotional style, especially when she had the really dramatic stuff. And I wonder what she's doing. Yeah, she was cool.
She left the business. She and her husband, I think, moved south and
upstate New York.
No, I think they moved to the south, and that she's like very involved in their church, the ministry. Yeah. That's the last we hear.
Oh, they're in a ministry?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, I can see that. I can see her doing that. That's great. I think that, yeah. A lot of these people you lose touch with, like, I think a lot of them have come to YNR, and I've seen them, like Michael Knight.
Right. Mm-hmm.
He was on, he was one that I knew when I was on Loving and All My Children, because his wife, Catherine,
right,
at the time was on Loving, who was amazing, Catherine Hicklin. Mm-hmm. And she was great. She used to let me watch her apartment when she would go out of town. She had this huge Upper West Side Central Park apartment that was just beautiful. And it was just like, I would babysit her house and pretend like she just had a gorgeous house, and she was always kind. But Michael Knight came to our show to play,
Simon Neville.
Eileen Davidson, I think, for a little.
Simon Neville, Dr. Simon Neville.
Yeah.
We have to know these things.
Yes. This is our only area of expertise. Right. Okay, Don't ask us about, anything else. But.
Well. Gosh, that's crazy. I don't even know his name, but yeah, he was an awesome person. I loved working with him on All My Children. He had a lot of advice for me back then. He was just funny. And then he showed up on YNR too.
I do remember you being like tight with those other ladies, like Alicia and Rebecca and Terry. We have some really cute photos of all of you that I run into from time to time.
Oh my gosh, we had so much fun. It's that age when you're like, just like having fun. You're just having fun. That's all there is to it. And they would always try to set me up with people. And I'm like, I'm not. That's crazy, girl. And we would just like run. We were trapped in a studio all day when just like little dorms. It's like, because we would be there all day. It was like, now you can kind of finish your scenes, and if you're lucky, you can leave for the rest of the day, or you might have one later on in the day and you can go and then come back. But we were stuck in this like studio all day with each other, and we just became friends, and we would have sleepovers and slumber parties and things that grown women don't do, but we did. And it was fun. And they were all awesome. They were all so awesome. I that is a time I wish I could go back and just bottle, because it was magical.
That's awesome. To have two such good experiences.
Rebecca Budig on General Hospital.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, everyone's popping.
She's on General Hospital?
Yes. She's playing Hayden.
Now that's a good soap opera name.
Yeah, I was just
Hayden
about to say.
Good.
Hayden's good. That's true.
Hayden.
That does sound much more
sorry.
I wish that we had prepared like a whole list, and we could just rapid fire get your thoughts and feelings on their soap appropriateness. Next time, we're going to do that.
I wish you did too. Can we do that next time? Okay.
100%. That's going to be the next sidebar to your next interview in Soap Opera Digest.
I want to be the one to name everyone on the soap.
Actually, maybe it should go in the reverse. Should be Amelia's list of soap names.
Yes, we should get your like top 10 approved.
Yes, please. Please let me. Okay, the one that's, oh my gosh, I have my own nickname for him, because now his name's Hunky. That's his nickname. But his real name is Torsten Kane.
Oh, yeah, Ridge.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Okay, I call him Ridge. Okay, I call him Hunky.
You call him Hunky.
A couple other people call him
so
Hunky.
So do we.
Toasty, so Hunky. He's got a lot of good names.
I'm like, hello, Hunky. Yeah, Hunky would be a good soap name.
Hunky would be like a good soap parody name. Hunky Smith.
Well, Ridge has the distinction of having a brother named Thorn.
Yeah.
So, that's
named after real people, by the way.
Oh, of course. Well, isn't the soap set in California?
Mm-hmm. Yes, Los Angeles. Yes.
Well,
They benefit
people
from
out
that.
Here do have names like that. Yeah. Okay. That makes sense.
Right. Now, after All My Children wrapped, you joined Young and the Restless, where you are now. Now, the show had been looking for the right person to succeed Heather Thomas Victoria for a really long time. And so what do you remember about getting the role?
Well, I'd been in LA for I came back after I told you guys I was done being fusions. And then I came back here, lived for, I think I was out here for about a year. And I had decided to go back to daytime again. I gave myself a little year off to sort of see what I wanted to do. And then I was like, well, I better get a job. Got a mouth to feed and I needed to be working again. And I didn't even have a manager. I kind of fired everyone that I had. And a friend of mine had this guy named Michael Bruno, and he happened to know that he's like, do you want to go out for this role? It's kind of a big role. I don't know if you're really interested. There's going to be a lot of dialogue. It's Victoria Newman, you know, and I'm like, yeah, I know who that is. Oh, I know. And I knew of Heather Tom, and I had seen The Young and the Restless. I had watched it during time, you know, when I was looking at soaps and sort of, but I'd never really committed to it. I think I watched it when Christine was Cricket and Danny Romilotti, and I sort of like,
that's when I
really
started watching
it, but I never did.
I was really into it.
It was awesome.
I loved
then.
Cricket and Danny.
I wanted
everything. Yeah.
Me too. They were all so cute. And Tracy Bregman. Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. So, but I never got into it. But so I was like, well, okay, I'll go on it. But I don't know if I want to do a role with a ton of dialogue because I had been so used to being a fusion girl for so long. And all I did was my joke on the show of All My Children. I would just stand in the background in a plant. And like, I would not really talk that much. So I was a little nervous about taking on such a large role, but, I went and I came to I think there was a preliminary audition. And then there was one where we all were called in. I got a call back and we all came in together and there were about eight or nine of us. And this time they did auditions differently than they do them now. They like had you go on set and they would actually tape it with the cameras and you would, I mean, I don't think they do it like this anymore, but, and you would work with various actors. Like I had to audition with Eric and Peter Bergman. And I think I auditioned also with Thad, which is so funny because then I ended up marrying him. And then I auditioned with Michelle Stafford. I mean, they put you through all these people. And I was like, oh my God, I just want to go. This is awful. There's like eight people. I was the last one. I had to sit in the studio all day. I was like, so nervous. It was getting all kinds of advice and people were like coming in and like, okay, I think this role is yours, but you gotta, you know, like I had the executive producer, Ed Scott, coming in and he's like, you got this, you gotta do this. And I'm like, I don't even know if I want this. And at one point, I promise you that I've told this story a couple times because this is me. I gathered my purse and everything. I had one more screen test to do with one of the actors and I gathered my stuff. I'm like, I'm getting out of here. And I was going to go walk down the hall and just walk out and just be like, I was ready to not do it. Cause I was just, they made me wait all day cause there were so many actresses doing it. And then, as I opened the door, I opened it up and the casting director was standing there with a basket full of like chips and cookies and all this stuff. And she's like, chips? I'll never forget it. It's like she knew I was going to leave. She knew I was like a flight risk. And if people don't believe, like, why would you leave an audition? That's like an opportunity to, and people would kill for that. I just got nervous, you know, and I was just like, I think this is going to be too much and I'm just going to sneak out and they'll never know. But then I ended up getting the role. and it's probably the best decision that I've ever made in my life. Well, not ever made my whole life, but career-wise, it's been a really, really great call. And that's why I've been there for such a long time is because the people are just amazing. And I'm totally in love with my family, my fake TV family. They're like, I mean, if you see us together, you think we're a real family. They're just like the loves of my life. They're so wonderful. Eric and Melody and Josh and, you know, Mosa Ordway and all of them. You know, like, they're just like, I couldn't leave. Like my norm was to do 3 years and then just go do something else, but I didn't want to leave. I was so happy.
So when you were offered the job, like, did you debate maybe not taking it because you thought it might be too much? Like, was that part of your story?
Yeah. Yeah. The guy that I told you about that kind of got me the audition, he's like, Amelia, I was getting ready to throw myself in front of a subway train because he was in New York. I'm like, Michael, don't say that. He's like, I thought you weren't going to take the job. He really wanted me to take the job. I'm like, Michael, don't be so dramatic. Are you sure? And then I guess at one point they brought us back again because they were hiring me either for Victoria or for Mac. And they didn't know which one. And so that's when I read with Thad. And then they picked me for Victoria, and they picked I forget her name, but you guys probably remember it. Kim McKinley?
Rachel Kimsey?
No. Rachel Kim, yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So she and I both got a role that day.
Now, this was your first time as a recast. You know, what was it like to just sort of step into this role knowing someone else had memorably played it? And how did you approach it?
There was an element of wanting to be the strong that everyone told me about. Like, oh, she's the strong. She was very strong and bully. And I was like, okay, well, that's not really who I am. But it took me a little while to find, you know, I think I would try to be that and it wouldn't work. So I would just sort of like try. So, you know what, it just took time. And then I didn't read any people's reactions. I don't do that anyway, but like, I didn't want to know, cause you can't really compare yourself when, especially I know Heather now, like we see each other all the time. She's awesome. I really, really like her. But there's no way I could play the character the way she played it. I was going to play it the way that I play it. And ultimately, you know, they wanted a strong character, and ultimately I found my own strength. It may not have looked like hers, but it was mine. I remember like one time people would say things like, you need to do this, you need to do that. And I'm like, my feelings would get hurt. And I'm like, well, I'm trying, but it was like a transition period. Mm-hmm. And then after a certain amount of time, it just becomes your own. And I think the fans receive it the way that they're going to receive it. And then most of the time, I mean, why aren't our fans just want to love the show? I think they just want to love the show. They want to believe in the person that's in the role, and they ultimately end up giving them a chance if they can, you know, merit their favor somehow. Mm-hmm. And somehow I did. So, not everyone's, but
I think that's well said. Like people, you know, they want to love you and give you a fair shake.
They do. And they want that of every character. You know, I know people like, I've been so, when Gina came on, they were like kind to her. And, you know, you always have the people that are not going to be, that are going to be the hater people. But, and then they give the person a chance. And then, you know, even Gina's gone now and Michelle's back, and they still like, it's the love of the show, I think.
Yeah, that's like ultimately the love story, I think, is the audience in the show, you know. So you brought
Agreed.
Up your family, the Newman family. And I want to hear more about your thoughts on the folks in your clan. And I have to say, if you're ever having a bad day, you just call up Melody Thomas Scott's Digest podcast, because when she spoke about you, if memory serves, it brought me to tears. It was just the sweetest.
I love her so much.
Yeah. So tell us about tell us about Melody and your relationship with her.
Oh my God. I just love her so much. I don't know how it happened, but we just love each other. We just laugh and everything. Like she doesn't know all the details of my personal life. She doesn't know everything about my day to day. We don't call each other on a daily basis, but when we're at the studio, it's just like, I don't know. We've just had years of, and it happened right away actually with her, because she and Eric we liked each other from the start, and I'm not sure why, because they're not like that with everyone. And I'm not like that with everyone, and I actually thought they were going to be great big divas, and they weren't. They were just like, really kind to me, and not in an overly kind way, but just like, it took a little time. And as the days went on and the years went on, we just became closer and closer, and we get on set and we just get each other. Like Eric, me and Mel and Josh, we just get each other, and we all end up just laughing. Cause I think the mentality, the way they think about what we're doing for a living and the day to day and the year to year. And like, it's just so much time spent with each other in these roles, which is unlike any other thing on television. you have to laugh at it, and we all laugh, but we all also take it very seriously at the same time, which is funny because they have the nice balance of getting it, you know, like it's not real life, but it means something to people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now you had some incredible scenes recently with Eric, when Victoria demanded the CEO seat at Newman. I mean, they were totally riveting. So, you know, what was your experience just sort of going toe to toe with Eric that way? And for you, what is more fun to play, Victoria and Victor at odds or Victoria and Victor getting along?
I think, both, but I like it when he's so good. He's just so good. He really wants to put himself into everything. He and I like to play the ones where we sort of butt heads, but, he likes to always, from the minute I started working with him, he always wants to show the love that he has for his daughter. He doesn't ever want to lose that. He knows the audience wants to see us loving each other ultimately. So he always has this talk with me about how make sure to show the love. He's so aware of the relationship and the importance of the father-daughter and father, the relationship with the Newman family, that it matters to him that people see it that way. Mm-hmm. But he loves the fighting stuff. And so do I. Mm-hmm.
So obviously you've been in the role for a good while now. Do you have a storyline that's a personal favorite or one that you were particularly proud of the work that you did during from your tenure as Victoria?
I really did like the Delia storyline. I liked it because it was like the first time that it's the second time I ever saw the cast come together emotionally mm-hmm. over something. Because there were so many people involved yeah. in the story and they were like all on board to just give their full emotion. And you know, it was like we were all in synchronicity with that. And it like meant something. Like people would come to work and even the crew and everyone they would be quiet when normally people talk on set all the time. But they knew that it was important to everyone. So everyone, you know, quieted down. And it was a story that meant something to the show at the time. And so that one was a good one for me. I really, really loved when they put Billy and Victoria together in the very beginning, when the humor that we played together was so much fun for me back then. It was like I was having the time of my life.
Mm-hmm. Those were great.
It was just fun.
Mm-hmm. Now, in 2014 and 15, you won back-to-back Daytime Emmys for Outstanding Supporting Actress. So what do you remember about the experience of your first win, and what about the second time?
The first one, I had a really bright orange dress on.
I remember it.
And I was actually a really nice designer, but I was like, oh, that's nice, you know. And then I guess I didn't really think I was going to win because I thought probably, you know, Liz would win because it was her sort of daughter story. But so I was a little bit surprised. I don't even know if we were in the same category. Maybe we weren't. She's not, well, who knows? But anyway, I was so glad that it wasn't televised because I didn't want to mess up a speech and on TV or say something, you know, like, and I know that they gave you a timer and everything. So I was nervous. I was more nervous about public speaking than winning it. You know, I just didn't want to get up on the stage and talk. But it went fine. And I was like, oh my gosh, I was really thrilled. And then the next year it was televised. And I think I think when they cut to me, I might have said a bad word, but you couldn't hear it, but you saw my mouth make the word. And I was like, oh no. Oh no. And it was televised. Oh no. Why couldn't we reverse the years? Because I was like a little shocked about that one, but it was fun. I mean, winning is always nice. Always fun.
Not that many people have two daytime Emmys on their mantle. I mean, that's pretty cool. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I was really honored. It was really cool. I'm not going to lie to you. It was fun.
Where do you keep them?
Right now they're in the office and they're on the top shelf and they're very like pokey. Like the wings of those angels are dangerous. So I put them up there because they're like really stabby. I think I probably impaled a couple people that night when I won and I'm walking around with it. They're really sharp. They should rethink the design.
So the design is a liability issue.
They rethought the logo this year, so perhaps really? They'll make the design less injurious.
Really? Oh, no, the logo's different?
Just a little different, a little more modern. They kind of gave it a little facelift, so maybe we'll see the award
more
get
modern.
It too.
Ooh, la, la.
Yeah, yeah, right? Big changes.
Okay. Yeah, totally.
Can't wait to see it.
Cool. We'll have to text you a sneak peek. So next March.
With you, that would be so cool.
Be like, don't tell anyone. This is Emmy's new look. So wait, next March, it's going to be the 15-year mark that you're hitting in the role of Victoria. What does that milestone sound like to you hearing it out loud? And what does it mean to you?
Seems like that long, but it doesn't seem like that long. It seems almost like sometimes shorter and sometimes longer. And then it scares me to think, like, I never thought I would be in a place so long. And what's it like when it's not that it's going to end anytime soon, but if it were, like, what, this has become such a part of my life. And the people that I see on a day-to-day basis is quitting a job after 15 years. Not that I'm quitting. I didn't, but, you know what I mean? Like, this is like a legacy for me almost. Like, this is, I'll be known for this, for being on YNR, because I've been there so long, mm-hmm. You know, most likely. Not that if anyone knows me or Googles me one day, they'll be like, oh yeah, she was on YNR for whatever years. So it's like, wow, this was, I've put my life into this place already. And it just went by so fast, but my son is 24. So like I said, at the beginning of this, that's life. It just goes by really fast. So I'm grateful. I don't have any regrets about staying there. And I, you know, all those people that I work with, I just love them. I adore them.
Well, I mean, besides getting the list from you, this has been, you know, super fun
name
discussion.
I'm telling
yes.
You.
So we definitely want you to give us the names. We will share them perhaps in the magazine so the head writers can get an idea of like what cooler soap names are.
Exactly.
And we really thank you so
thank
much for
you.
Joining us.
Yeah. For your first podcast,
you
I think you're very good at it.
Yeah, you hit it out of the park.
It's because you guys were excellent and I had fun. So thank you.
Oh, good. Well, thank
yeah,
you.
We had fun too.
We will talk soon.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you to Amelia Heinle for being our guest. If you like this podcast, please subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Be sure to pick up an issue on sale now and come back next week for another podcast.